What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday night is upon us yet again. I'm Josh Hadley, but add some vivaciousness to this, we do have the cat.
I was called vivacious once.
And that's still sticking in Charlie McMullen's craw.
Yes, it is.
You are listening to What the Fuck? Let's get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I don't know, are either of you big bicyclists? Do you guys bike at all, or are you more car and or walk?
I walk more than anything else. I have not owned a bike since I was, 13 maybe. So I'm not big on bikes, though. I'm not closed off to them. Like, I don't dislike bikes. I dislike some of the bicyclists that I've seen, you know, the spandex and the, it's not all held in the way it should be. That can ruin my day. But I've just never been that big into bikes.
What about you, Kat? You a big bicycler or are you a car girl?
I have a car because I could not get to my work or pretty much anywhere else in the Midwest on a bicycle. I don't dislike bicyclists in any way, even though I lived in Japan and a lot of people bicycle everywhere in Japan because it's not that hard to and you're less likely to die. But
that's a fair enough assertion.
But never really gotten to. I'm far too clumsy to be on a bicycle. I would probably kill myself.
In New York City, obviously, New York, L.A., Chicago, etc., bicycling's a big deal. And hell, most cities now have designated bike lanes painted right on the highway. Before that, bicyclists used to always ride on the sidewalk, right? In New York City, bicyclists are now complaining that people are walking in their bike lanes and they want the cops to do something about it. How dare pedestrians use our bike lanes when we used to use their sidewalks with the word walk right in the... Never mind.
No, if they want the police to do something, I think the first thing the police should do is explain the concept of irony to these people.
I think as long as we have something called a bike lane, that people should be in it if they are bicyclists. I'm as silly as it is that, you know, bicyclists are now complaining about something that used to be the complete opposite, you know, reverse of what used to be a problem. You know, this could legitimately get somebody killed.
It could, but the reason I put it in dumbest thing is the, what Charlie pointed out, the irony of it. That we've been doing this for years, and now as soon as you turn it around on us, now it's wrong.
I will also add this, because my town has bike lanes, like within the city, like the downtown area. And the only people that I've ever seen walk in the bike lane are smokers. If you're walking down the street smoking a cigarette, if it's like a busy day, you don't want to be on the sidewalk because people are walking with their kids. Like, your cigarette is about at eye level to a kid. So rather than do that to a kid, I'll just like walk on the other side of the parked cars in the bike lane.
Is it really that difficult to just not burn some kid in the eyes by paying attention? Is it that hard?
Dude, if I'm texting and putting in eye drops at the same time, I can't look everywhere.
Yes, it is hard for people to do the competent thing at any time.
Yeah, clumsiness can get serious on a bike.
I just found this to be really funny and kind of a, now that you're getting some of your own medicine, it's wine, bitch, wine. But remember, these were the people who, when pedestrians were saying we don't want them on our sidewalks because, you know, it's dangerous, they were the ones saying it's all right to ride our bikes. And now they're like, but it's not your right to walk. Since we're talking New York City, I have no clue why I went Southern. So that was a
bold choice, man.
That was my issue there. Sorry.
Stuff's made in New York City.
York.
I have no clue why that one went like that in my brain, but whatever.
I feel like anytime you need to assert that something is your right, that you always have to say, it's my right. Like, every time, it's always a Southern accent.
It just feels right with a Southern accent.
Well, it feels like it's your right.
Like, any time people are demanding for a right that they just made up and told everyone that they should have, a Southern accent just feels the most comfortable.
Well, then we move from that. Should we say this in a Southern accent? It is everyone's right to get married, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Well, not according to Bud Roth in Franklin County, Virginia. If you're not a Christian, he will not marry you. And by the way, he's just a court-appointed official whose job it is to marry people. He will not marry atheists because, quote, they don't know where God is, unquote. I've been talking about the Civil War. This is another aspect of it. Now, okay, they've been bitching about gay marriage all this time. Now, apparently, non-Christian marriage is an issue. Where is this going to stop?
This is ridiculous. I don't know where it stops, but I can tell you why this is fucking ridiculous, because this is a court appointed official. This is a civil servant paid via taxpayer money to do a job according to the law. And this is somebody, and then he pretty much told these people that they had to go to his church to get married, and that they had to go to church even though they had went to a courthouse to talk about getting married.
Which is usually the first step that you do when you don't want to get married at a church, but...
And then they said, okay, I guess we'll go to this church. And then he found out that this couple was an atheist and agnostic, and then he refused to marry them, and they were like, what the fuck? Because it's wrong. It is wrong for somebody who is a civil servant to deny somebody their right, which it's their right to get married in a courthouse, based on his personal beliefs, and also to try and force them to go to his church to do it. I mean, that's pretty fucking ridiculous.
I would like to dismiss this whole thing as just being ignorant all around. I mean, back in 2002, when I was in college, I got really stoned one night, went on the internet to universallifechurch.com, and became legally ordained as a minister. I've done my uncle's wedding. I've done a number of same-sex ceremonies.
I was going to say, I seem to remember you doing a couple of gay weddings, too.
Yes. Last one I did was a lesbian wedding, and it was a fucking blast, by the way. Lesbians know how to party. I'm going to go on record as saying that. You guys are great. But I would like to let court-appointed officials know that you are that replaceable. Like, this is not anything to take a fucking stand about. This is a formality. This is the quickest and most boring part of your job, is just signing a piece of paper making a marriage legal. If you're going to be that much of a weird Christian about it, you probably shouldn't be working there in the first place, because you are hired by the court. You're a liaison to the people. Like, it's I don't want to say it's like a sacred duty or anything, but I mean, it's an important job. It's a job that you should take seriously and be able to separate your fucking superstitions from.
Let's say these weren't this was not an atheist and an agnostic. Let's be honest, an agnostic is an atheist without the courage of their own convictions, but whatever. What if this were a Muslim, or Jews, or Buddhists, or Wiccans? Would Roth have had the same objection and said, no, unless you're Christian, you don't get to get married? Because I see a strange divide here. I've noticed more, and I'm not playing the oppressed card here. Christians seem to have more of an issue with atheists than they do with people of other religions. Does that say more about the way our culture is shifting, or about what particular stories we've been noticing in the media?
Okay, that was like way too broad of a question here.
My head is straight up swimming, man.
We need to like rein it into like one thing. Would it have been different had it been somebody of a different religion? Somebody of a religion? I don't think it would have been, honestly. I think if it had been a Muslim or a Buddhist or something, then that same person, that guy, would have argued that they hadn't found the true God. This is somebody who won't marry somebody because they haven't found God, or they don't know where God is, or blah, blah, blah. They're going to argue the same thing. It's the logic of any given religion that every other religion is not the true religion. So I don't think he would have married any non-Christians, period. As for the trend of like atheists being the worst thing ever, maybe it's leaning that way, but we just need one good terrorist bombing over in the Middle East somewhere to shift us all the way back to Islamic hate. Something will always come up to
that's
to
right.
Make
it
us...
is an even number here.
The reason I brought that up is there was a poll recently that found, I think it was something like 54-58% of Americans would be more comfortable with an adulterer, a black adultering, drug using Christian as president before they would an atheist as a president. That shocked me.
I wonder where they took this poll.
Did it really shock you though?
Yeah, it did. That he would be an adulterer, he'd be a drug user, he'd be black, just like Obama, who we already hate. He doesn't believe in God? Well, then he's wrong. That I find, I mean, I don't think in my lifetime I'm ever going to see an atheist president of the United States.
They would never get elected. That's such a sad thing.
That's my point, Kat. You know, look at how many people in Congress are adulterers and have been caught doing so, have been caught cheating on their taxes, have been caught selling out the American people, but they're okay. How many congressmen are atheists? 3%. You cannot get ahead in American politics unless you believe in some God. That, to me, is disturbing.
Because there's that implication that your morals come from your religion. And it's just such a false idea that you can only be a good person if you believe in God, which is ridiculous. I wonder how many people in Congress just say that they're religious and really don't give a shit, but they just throw flourishes of "In God We Trust" and yada, yada, yada into their speeches just to get votes.
I actually want to hear one of them use yada, yada, yada at some point, too.
That would be amazing.
It depends on who the richest lobbyist is. I mean, if, like, the very day that someone realizes there's money to be had in atheism, that's when you'll see an atheist presidential candidate.
But I don't think there is money in atheism, because atheists don't go passing around the collection plate like Christians do.
Right.
So I think at its base, atheism is kind of the poor man's anti-religion, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's gonna donate to as a show of their lack of faith. That's ridiculous. There's just no money to be made with atheists, so that's why you can't really get ahead in politics as an atheist. Probably also the reason why you wouldn't really want to get ahead in politics, because the whole thing is just a vortex of bullshit now. I mean, politics, it makes me sick every time I think about politics for any extended period of time, because money is just running everything. It's the same ill-gotten blood money that's just been passed from person to person to person to person. It's ironically it's a model for what our economy should be, but because of all my creed and religion, nothing's getting done about the economy. But I digress. I would like to say to Roth and all the other ultra-religious politicians out there, regardless of religion, I would just like to say, if you're going to wipe your ass with the supposed separation of church and state, at least be on the side that you don't hate.
Well, how about we move from that to fundamentalist hating Christians? You guys heard of the American Family Association, right? They're a hardcore Christian right-wing nutball group who hates gays, hates atheists, etc., etc.
They're the hate group, right? Officially classified as a hate group.
If they are, I missed that one. So I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just saying I didn't know that. Now, Harvey Milk was the first openly gay politician in California, in almost America, and he was brutally murdered by Dan White in the 70s. And whether you think Harvey Milk was a good guy or a bad guy, some people claim he was a pedophile, other people say that that's just hate, so I don't know the facts in that. Well, he's been put on a new stamp. He's been commemorated. The American Family Association says they will not accept any incoming mail that uses a Harvey Milk stamp on it, because that is offensive to them. Quoting, "This is not diversity, this is perversity."
Oh, that is delicious. I love it when they think they're being clever. Like, okay, Someone was so fucking jazzed about how it rhymed that they are just patting themselves on the back over that.
Rhymed. City.
See? Because it sounds the same.
All right, I'm going to read another quote before you guys chime in. Quoting again. "Honoring predator Harvey Milk on a U.S. postage stamp is disturbing, to say the least. Harvey Milk was a very disreputable man and used his charm and power to prey on young boys with emotional problems and drug addiction. He is the last person we should be featuring on a stamp," unquote. I want to say, all of those allegations are unproven. So his whole predator status, the same way Bryan Singer is accused of being a predator of underage boys, it's just an accusation. That doesn't make it true. So,
like, for it to be true, you want it to be true.
Right. For it to be true, it'd have to be, let's say, for example, a Catholic priest using his position of authority to prey upon young boys. That would be an example of it actually happening. Until that happens, it's just an accusation. I just think that, why is this not the dumbest thing ever?
Because this tied more into the hate aspect than it did into the dumb thing.
It's still pretty dumb. I can't wait for people to, like, really stick to their fucking guns, not accepting any mail with a Harvey Milk stamp on it. Then I would encourage everyone else outside of that town to use Harvey Milk stamps. That way people will be refusing their mortgage statements and shit, and they'll start losing their houses. I want to see how far they'll go.
I think we should start a campaign to only use Harvey Milk stamps and just start mailing all of their correspondence to the American Family Association. Like
we
this.
we need to just send them random, like, hey, how you doing notes, like every day for a year using Harvey Milk stamps.
It would totally be worth the money that you would have to pay for the stamps.
Someone will get, like, really worried. Like, maybe we shouldn't be refusing this mail. Maybe this whole thing is fucking stupid.
So I looked it up, and yeah, they are totally listed as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Okay.
This is nine kinds of really, really dumb. This is, once again, like, Christians trying to tell, or, like fundamentalist Christians who, you know, are insane, trying to tell you that homosexuality is not just a sin, but that all of them, every single fucking homosexual out there, is a predator who will prey on young boys. I don't understand where this idea comes from. This is like the whole idea of why they won't let, the Boy Scouts won't let gay men be in charge of a Boy Scout troop, because it's this completely false idea that if you are homosexual, that you can't keep it in your pants, and that you will prey on literally anything with a dick.
And like, really, if you're a Boy Scout at the age of 47, you're probably not big on sex just in general.
So it's this just fear-mongering vitriol. It's just disgusting. And these people should not be listened to by anybody.
Now I wonder, to tie this into the thing we were talking about previous, what if they put a renowned atheist on a stamp? Would they have the same objection?
You know what? I'm actually certain that somewhere we already have atheists on stamps. We just don't think of them as atheists. We call them scientists or something else.
Oh, I just thought of it. A couple of years ago at Halloween, they released Universal Monster stamps. Dracula was on one. Would he not qualify as an atheist? Or am I really reaching for the Dracula thing?
So yes, he fed upon the blood of the innocent.
But he was afraid of
crosses. But he believed in God.
He was afraid of crosses, though.
Yeah.
But at least he believed in God. He didn't love God, but he believed in God.
And that's what matters. So feast upon all the virgins you want to, buddy. At least you believe in God.
At least he's not Harvey Milk, right?
Right.
Yeah,
at least
he's
not
a politician. Vampire, okay, but not a gay politician. Jesus.
They're easy pickings at the discotheque. I'll leave them feeling like they've been in the wreck. You know they wake up all wasted and they never ever check. Those two small holes that I leave in their neck. I'm gonna wait for you on Saturday night. I'm gonna give your neck a great big bite. You try and find me in the mirror and I'm nowhere in sight. When you wake up Sunday you will look a terrible fright. And when the medical team arrive on the scene and diagnose what bit you, everybody will scream. Tracks back. If you're out chasing me, I close the clubs because my drinks are all free. And when the sun is done, and that's when I have to flee, you can catch me at my coffin by 5:23. Now if you were smart and feeling up to the part, you best come look and leave the stake through my heart. Drags back. I wanna suck your crazy day, but I'm such an empty healer that I'm still here to say, tracks back. I wanna suck your arm.
Woo! Yeah.
Tracks back. I wanna suck your arm.
Woo! Yeah.
Tracks back. I wanna suck your arm.
Woo! Yeah.
Tracks back. Tracks back. Tracks back.
Well, howdy ho, motherfuckers! You are now in the middle of a heart attack moment, and guess what? Two shows in a row, we're getting it right on take one. With me, of course, is Josh Hadley, and if you have not been listening to the hour-long heart attack, I urge you guys to. I think that we're really starting to hit a good rhythm with the show. Next week, we're going to have Captain Young from the LAPD come on, and then the week after that, we're going to have Dr. DeMars, the mother of war, Ronda Rousey, is going to come on and update us with what's been going on with Seven Generation Games. And also, we had an update this week from Keith Davis, who talked about his battles with the city of Portland and how they are trying to hush up pedophile ring up there. It was some pretty crazy stuff. Fuck, man, I'm still kind of blown away by that. We recorded that right before we did this. But I gotta lay this on you guys at home. This is great. All right, everybody is sick to death about me talking about bike lane bullshit, right? So there's more of that bullshit happening around town. And actually, the city is kind of turning around because now the city is getting the feedback from their police officers and from their fire department. And yeah, they're having a real impact. These ghost bike lanes and removing vehicle lanes from major arteries of the city. Oh, guess what? It's impacted emergency response times. Yeah, the fucking evidence is in. There's some meetings coming up, and guess who called me on the phone, Josh?
President Obama.
No, actually, some people from LA City Council. Some folks from the LA City Council had called me to make sure that I was going to be in attendance at an upcoming bicycle meeting.
Are you going to, like, wear a suit and tie and pull your hair back and look all presentable?
No, I learned my lesson. The very first time I appeared on a talk show was a show called A Closer Look with Faith Daniel. And I listened to my dad. My dad's like, you got to comb your hair back. You got to pull your long hair back. You got to wear a suit. You got to slick that hair back. And boy, I just looked sleazy as fuck, dude. Sleazy as fuck. So no. No. And I did wear the three-piece suit to one of the big meetings. And in fact, you could see me in the background with a lot of the shot callers wearing the suit, like, you know, on Fox News, like on their reporting of this stuff. I was laughing my ass off. They called me up and they wanted to make sure that I was going to be there. And I'm actually in a documentary all about motorists versus bicyclists, because they're playing people off against each other. That's a big part of our government. They are playing us, the people, off against each other. They trick us into arguing about whether or not you could say fag, whether or not, you know, you could say this or that, or that it's all about. But they've got no problem with the fact that they don't have enough money to take care of our veterans coming back from a war. They've got no problem taking bribes from corporations for crimes they've committed. How can you sit there and get on me about what word choices I make in my conversation when we have so much rampant law breaking happening all around us nonstop, from the police to the city council members? I mean, here in LA, we got city council members that are handing out waivers to building fire codes. How do you argue to the people that elected you that this is good for them? We're talking about family dwelling, where they're going to make it difficult for firemen to put out a fire. Who's going to pay for that? It's going to be the people that move into the building years later, and the city council members won't even give a fuck. Or the earthquake waivers they're giving people with the Millennium Towers that folded in Hollywood. But millions of dollars were spent on this stuff. And in Chicago, they've got issues with poor people's schools being closed, yet they're making bike lanes. We really are kind of upside down here. And some of the things I wanted to do on this quickie segment was, I think folks should go to mediaroots.org and look up the PBS Frontline United States of Secrets. That's something that's really going to inform you on something that's happening in our spying. Like, we're spying on Israel, all right? America had an aircraft carrier in the Middle East that was spying on all of the elected officials in Israel. Then we want to talk about Chinese hackers? Oh, well, guess what? The U.S. has been spying on all the Chinese companies, on their top leader, their telecom giant, I can't even pronounce this, H-U-A-W-E-I, their national banks, the Chinese trade ministry, they are spying on all of them while screaming, oh no, we got to protect us from Chinese hackers. It's a lot of bad shit going on out there, a lot of upside down stuff. I'm kind of all over the place today, aren't I, Josh?
Consistency is not always one of your strong suits.
Yep, yep. And oh, hey, you know, we were talking gun control, and gee, there was a recent robbery at a recent GameStop that was foiled by a person who just happened to be there with his concealed gun permit. He was a 28-year-old Marine veteran. Good thing he had that gun to save that guy. Good thing. Good thing.
I disagree with you, but that's just me.
That's okay. That is your prerogative. It doesn't matter what you agree. The facts of the matter is that a 28-year-old Marine veteran saved some people from a robbery with his concealed carried gun. That is the fact of the matter.
What would have been the harm in giving the person the money and letting the cops arrest the guy later? You don't have to be a fucking hero.
Fuck that, Josh. My girlfriend was raped and murdered. No, fuck that shit. My girlfriend, how dare you say that to me? My girlfriend was raped and murdered in a robbery. That's like you telling me, oh, well, Hart, you know, how do you know she would have been alive if she'd had a gun? How do we know those people would even be alive today for them to catch later? No, man, no. They foiled a robbery. Fuck this bullshit of, well, we should let the cops handle it. What do we keep reporting on this show? We keep reporting that the police are tanking. They're tanking reports on crime. They're avoiding crimes. They're gaming the system. They're not interested in poor folks. They're not interested in that at all. That's a bullshit thing. The fact of the matter is a man with a concealed carry permitted gun foiled a robbery. There's nothing else. That's the fact. And that's all I'm saying is that's a fact.
He's also going to get fired for it.
Hey, at least those people are alive. I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. And I'm a person who's got dead people in his life from gun violence. I've been saved from people with guns. You know what I mean? I've been there. I've been involved. And why don't we ask the Mexican people how they're doing with their gun control down there with the narco-terrorism that's destroying their country? They're doing real good. I don't believe in this pony-ass shit because what's next after taking away everybody's guns? You're going to ban martial arts? I mean, one could say I should be a registered weapon. You're going to ban that next? Is that next? Knives? You're going to ban those next? Like in China. In China, they banned knives. They had a whole knife.
You're putting words in my mouth. I've never talked about banning guns.
I don't know. It sounds like you're talking that here, buddy.
About banning guns. I've never spoken about
that. I will say I'm
that.
All for the background checks. I'm all for heavy-duty background checks. You know, I really believe in those. I believe that criminals and psychotic people should be denied having their guns. So I'm for the background checks, for sure. Big time.
Divulging too much, do either of you drive a Ford or GM vehicle currently?
No.
GMC is what I drive.
Well, still GM. It's General Motors.
Yeah.
Well, is your car one of the recalled? One of the millions of recalled cars then, Charlie?
Is that something I should be looking into?
I would think so.
Do you want to blow up, maybe?
Oh, no, you won't necessarily blow up. See, here's the thing. The largest car recall ever is happening right now. Mainly GM, but Ford has got a million or so of them out there they're recalling right now, too. They are recalling vehicles for safety issues. Now, you might say, well, they're recalling the issue. They're recalling the cars, so they're on top of this, right?
Okay.
GM is known about an issue where the keys in the ignition may actually slip, turning the car off, depriving the car of power steering, brakes, etc., while you're driving down the highway, basically making you a 65-mile-an-hour cannonball that you can't control. Now, this is a bad thing, right? How fast do you think they jumped on this when they found out the ignition can accidentally turn off in millions of our GM cars?
Well, certainly not years. That'd be crazy, right?
That would be nuts.
2001.
Guys,
They issued the recall in 2014. They issued it a couple of weeks ago. In 2001, they knew about this issue. They spent 4 years studying the issue. In 2005, it was determined that recalling all the vehicles at that point, quote, was not an acceptable business case, unquote.
Mm-hmm. Meaning, this is the kind of shit Ed Norton was talking about in Fight Club.
I was a recall coordinator. My job was to apply the formula.
Here's the info went to the windshield. 3 points.
A new car built by my company leaves somewhere traveling at 60 miles per hour. The rear differential locks up.
The teenager's braces are wrapped around the backseat ashtray. Might make a good anti-smoking ad.
The car crashes and burns with everyone trapped inside. Now, should we initiate a recall?
The father must have been you. Did you see where the fats burned to the seat? The polyester shirt? Very modern art.
Take the number of vehicles in the field, A, multiply it by the probable rate of failure, B, then multiply the result by the average out-of-court settlement, C. A times B times C equals X. If X is less than the cost of a recall, we don't do one.
Are there a lot of these kinds of accidents?
You wouldn't believe.
Guess, I want you to just guess, how much would it cost to fix each one of these problems during this recall in 2001? If they had issued it in 2001, how much would this have cost? Probably millions and millions of dollars, probably hundreds of dollars per vehicle, right?
Yeah, at least.
Per vehicle? All right, Kat, let's Price is Right this shit.
I bet a dollar.
Oh, you bitch!
Shouldn't have handed it to me first.
Oh,
Kat,
all right.
Is closest. 57 cents.
Yes. Oh, my God.
It would have cost 57 cents per vehicle. And by the way, this wouldn't be millions of vehicles because they kept manufacturing cars for the last 13 years with this defect. So they knew it was a defect, but to them it cost more to fix the defect than paying off the families of the confirmed 13 deaths since 2001 caused by this defect and the 32 non-fatal crashes that have been confirmed by this defect. Do you know what they actually did to all their GM dealers? They sent out a memo telling customers to avoid this defect, don't use heavy keychains.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Like, people just never put keychains on keys or anything because somehow you can find just your key ever.
Well, but that also leads to a larger issue then, doesn't it? We know about this. We could fix it, but we're going to ask you to fix it. You know, as the consumer who already bought our crappy vehicle that's basically a death trap. Here's the most ridiculous part. In 2009, when GM went bankrupt and we bailed them out, they are claiming that their bankruptcy protects them from all actions taken and all cases brought about before the 2009 bankruptcy. They're claiming their 2009 bankruptcy gives them a clean slate, so now you can only go back 5 years to try and sue us for actions that we've been knowingly committing since 2001. The reason I'm bringing all this up is, at what point does a corporation have to take responsibility? I mean, at what point does the government step in and say, you've known since 2001 that a minimum of 13 deaths were caused by you being cheapskates? At what point Does the government step in? Because remember, corporations are people now. If you, Kat, had accidentally killed 13 people in the last 13 years, would the government just give you a pass and go, well, you know, it was cheaper than her not killing them, right? I'm serious. I'm not trying to be ridiculous. That's what this equates to, doesn't it?
I'll tell you what this equates to, man. This is like a massive scale version of the guy in the convenience store bathroom who says 75 cents for a condom, that's too much, and then has a kid and raises it for 18 years. What? And, oh my God, to really put this in perspective, 75 cents for the condom is more than it would have cost to fix this. Oh God.
That's true, Kat.
Doesn't it sting?
Your thoughts, since I basically just labeled you as a serial killer.
I have no problem with that label. I'm just more entertained by Charlie's analogy than anything else because it's so perfect. What I'm really curious about is not just the number, the 13 deaths, 13 years. That's just the number of people killed. To say nothing of the amount of damage that's done, the amount of accidents that it's caused where people weren't killed, hospital bills, people having to replace vehicles, both the vehicle that failed and then whatever other cars it ran into. I mean, that's a tremendous amount of money. And the idea that these people can't get justice because these companies fucked up so bad financially. I mean, that's pretty fucking ridiculous.
And I think even more ridiculous is the fucking plenary indulgence attitude they seem to have taken after the bailout. They're like, okay, do over, starting now. We're not responsible for anything starting now.
But what does this also say about the fact that they've known about deaths caused by this since 2001? Hell, even we don't know how many deaths were between 2001 and 2005 for this. But that it took them 4 years of studying this to go, oh, it's actually cheaper just to pay off the families of the victims. That is some cold-ass corporate logic. That is, if corporations are people, that's a fucking sociopath, isn't it?
The failure of something we classify as a person to be human. Like, because that's not human. You have to have a cold-hearted bitch level of apathy for other human beings to decide that it's easier just to kill people and shell out some cover-up money than it is to alert people to the truth and own up to your mistakes. And the fact that they kept manufacturing cars with the defect is the real, like, how much money would it have cost to design a new ignition? Like, really? And
apparently more than 57 cents.
More than 57 cents. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, if corporations are people, GM is just an asshole. It is anybody who knew about this since 2001 should not be able to sleep at night.
This GM thing is endemic of the larger problem of corporate responsibility. Why are corporations allowed to get away with something that a normal person isn't? And I am constantly, I'm going to keep going back to this whole corporations are people thing. They fought for this. They fought for the corporation is a person. What about CVS pharmacies? CVS pharmacies were recently caught misplacing tens of thousands of OxyContin pills that were being sold on the black market out of the back of their stores. Why is the CEO of CVS not being charged as a drug kingpin? Because Charlie, if you were the person selling OxyContin out the back of a CVS store or out of your own house, you'd be a drug kingpin. Why is the CEO of CVS not?
Because their prices really are reasonable. I mean, how can you be mad at CVS?
I go to Walgreens, man. We don't even have any CVSs around here. It doesn't make sense that corporations want to be treated like people so that they can have rights, but they don't want to be responsible in the same way that people are held responsible. It's a logical fallacy or whatever. It doesn't make sense. And it's not fair. But let's face it, businesses only want what's fair if it's fair for them.
They want the benefits of being a person without the deficits of being a person, in other words, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, corporations, they serve some purpose or another, but there's all these corporate bigwigs up at the tippy top making all this money whose job it is to keep making money. You know, they're there to make sure that their corporation stays profitable and as profitable as possible and grows in profits consistently so that their shareholders are placated and making tons and tons of money so that all of these people who are already like mind-blowingly rich can keep getting richer.
Do you think we're ever going to see corporations taken to task for this by people other than us? Do you think we're ever going to get a senator or a governor or someone that actually passes a law that says, hey, you wanted to be people? You get punished like people too. Or is this just going to keep getting worse and worse until we come into some shadow run type philosophy where the corporations become the government?
I personally think we will have nuked ourselves to death before the scenario of somebody taking corporations to task. I could really honestly see our corporations becoming our government. But again, I don't know, because I really think we're going to nuke ourselves before any of that.
I think a lot of us already have.
Elaborate.
I think we'll have a candidate like that as soon as somebody gets into politics for the right reasons. It's just that so far, no one who's ever been in politics has done that.
Maybe if an atheist tried it.
Maybe.
I think we're really just a couple of generations away, because I think like my generation, our generation, and younger are less and less religious. They're less and less into being fed the bullshit of our fathers. You know, I mean, obviously there are a lot of people who are like that, but I mean, it's part of the reason why a lot of the younger people are voting Democrat over Republican. You know, like the younger people don't want to be fed the bullshit of conservatives. So I think it could take a couple of generations, but I think eventually we could weed out some of the corporate bullshit. But again, it would be hard to get elected because you need money.
And see, I'm not as optimistic as you. I think it's just going to keep getting worse. I don't think we're ever going to get that. And I'm leaving out your whole us nuking thing, because who knows what'll happen. I'm sure the corporations like cockroaches will survive the nuke.
I really think we're going to live in some post-apocalyptic world.
You almost sound excited by that. Like, you kind of want that.
I won't live to see it.
No, I don't. I mean, I'd really like to. But it's just false optimism. I know it's never going to happen. There's always going to be too many people in politics who value money over human life. And I think that's probably a prerequisite to be in politics, or at least to advance in politics. I don't know. It's a flawed system, but any system would be flawed because people are shitty. And people are always going to be shitty. And I think the less shitty ones that we give ultimate power to, the better.
Well, do you think on the topic...
Just figure out how.
Do you think on the topic of corporate responsibility, it is right that they don't go to jail, whereas the equivalent of a regular person would, and they just get to pay fines? Do you think that if you were rich enough and you killed somebody, you should just be able to pay a fine, whereas prescription drug deaths have... I mean, Pfizer has killed thousands of people, and all they get is a fine? Do you think the CEO of Pfizer should be in jail the same as a Mexican drug lord should be?
Well, I guess that would depend entirely on what kind of jail we're going to send them to, because these are white collar criminals who would go to very cushy, fancy prisons for, you know, because that's how it works. But I think honestly, the like CEOs and stuff are replaceable. You send one to jail, it's going to send a message, but they're just going to be replaced by an equally big scumbag.
That's my exact point of why corporations should not be people. If you kill somebody, you're going to go to jail. You can't just be replaced by somebody else as a person. That's why corporations are not people. Okay, Mitt Romney, when he was running for president, he had this huge thing about how he was so good at buying up a corporation and dismantling it and selling off all its parts. Why is he not a serial killer?
That's amazing. And so true. Why is he not a serial killer?
I would agree with that. I mean, Mitt Romney embodies everything that is wrong, not only with politics, but with politicians. And until we get a better kind of politician, the same shit is always going to keep happening. I mean, every president, without exception, has run for president, just it's based on at least a little bit on greed for everybody. Sometimes it's like for money. You know, Kennedy was one of our greatest presidents. He did it for pussy. You know he did.
Well, yeah.
even great presidencies.
I don't know. I'd say Clinton did it for pussy too.
Oh, Clinton definitely did it for pussy. He just kept doing politics for pussy. I don't even think he cared about being president. I mean, because even when he was a governor of Arkansas, he was doing it for pussy.
Well, to be fair, president pussy is better than governor pussy, isn't it?
Well, I mean, everything's probably better than Arkansas pussy, so.
Oh, sting.
Okay. Snap.
I wanted to talk about corporate responsibility. That's why I brought this up. Do you think corporate responsibility is lacking or now more than it used to be or is better? Back in the 80s, corporations didn't even get fines. Do you think the fact that we're at least making them pay fines shows we're moving in the right direction, even if it's taking for fucking ever? Or do you think it's just kind of a showpiece to quiet up the news that, hey, Pfizer paid a big fine, they took responsibility?
First off, I don't think that paying a fine is taking responsibility, because they're usually not willing to take the blame, not well and truly take the blame. People, they say, oh, well, something bad happened and we're investigating it. But they never say, yeah, something bad happened on our watch and that was totally our fault and we're going to go and make some changes to the way we run things. Nobody really ever says that. You know, the same mistakes keep on happening. This is why, you know, like, we have all of these, like, what was the stuff going on with all the water contaminations that were happening whenever that was?
The BP oil spill?
The BP oil spill, yeah. The BP doesn't even want to pay their fine anymore. Remember when the BP oil spill happened, they said, we'll clean all this up, we'll pay for everything, blah, blah, blah. Now they're going to the government. Yeah, that's actually costing a lot more than we thought. Is there a way we can get out of actually having to pay all that stuff we said we'd pay?
But I was actually thinking about there was like it was in Virginia or West Virginia or somewhere where
are you talking about the licorice water that makes you poop?
Well, I wouldn't have called it that, but it was, you know, where like the main sources of water were contaminated and for like a week or if not more, and people were on like boil watches. Yep. And it was all because, you know, companies
that is the licorice poop water I was talking about.
Yes, and it was because companies lied about how they were dumping their chemicals and there was leaks and stuff. And these are companies that don't really make changes. They just, you know, say, well, we're looking into it and blah, blah, blah. So this is corporate responsibility. I really think that the first major change that needs to happen is people need to own up to their mistakes and acknowledge that they happened and that it's part of a flawed system so that they can actually look into it and fix it and to fix, you know, whatever rule or system that was in place that made these mistakes happen in the first place. And that just never seems to really happen. They just find somebody to point the finger at, fire them, and then that is all better.
I mean, obviously, I think fines are better than nothing that happened all through the 80s. So, yes, fines are better than nothing. But I don't think fines are a fitting substitute. I don't think fines will bring wildlife back to life. I don't think... Okay, since you brought it up, I'm surprised licorice poop water did not catch on. I mean, with the right marketing behind that, I mean, you know, you aim it towards like the same demographic that would buy Ensure,
or the same people who would buy Xlax.
Like, yeah, are you constipated? Get licorice poop water.
Except to be fair, licorice poop water, most people lost pounds in days.
Right?
So it works a little too.
Why did
good.
It not catch on? That's what I'm saying. Licorice poop water could have been the like a fucking fitness craze with the right marketing behind that. Like this glass could have been half full, especially among supermodels. This glass could have been half full of licorice poop water, but no. But apart from that, no, I don't think fines are a fitting substitute. I think people need to be held accountable. People need to be punished. Laws need to be cared about even when there's no money to be made. I don't think everyone should be able to be bought off by a corporation, because there will always be a corporation willing to do that, willing to just buy lawmakers, make them do whatever they want, and fuck the planet. I don't think it's right. And I don't think, and money is the cause of all that. Greed is the cause of all that. And I don't think just requiring them to throw some money this way before they get it back somehow is really going to do anything. You don't throw money at a problem that's caused by the desire to get money.
To wrap up, where can we find Charlie drinking his licorice poop water?
In the bathroom, if you're doing it right. in addition to that, though, you can find me on Twitter at Charlie McMullen, on Facebook, and at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
And I'm thinking the cat is probably more responsible than to drink licorice poop water, but where could we find her if she chooses to?
Knee-deep in bullshit over on thatguywiththeglasses.com. Oh, that would be amazing. Knee-deep in bullshit. Oh, God.
I might change that. I might change the name of the show to that. Knee-deep in bullshit.
But anyway, you can also find me on Facebook.com/NerdistCat and on Twitter at LabyrinthCat.
And you can find me over at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com, and I'm at GeekJuiceMedia.com as well. Good night, guys.
Is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.